doesn't feel well.
All right. Ready, Peg?
Yeah. Adequate notice of this meeting of January 28, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. So I'd just like to say quickly, as you may notice, we have a sparse council tonight. I don't know if it's because of the weather, whatever, but many people don't feel well. And Joe, out of his civic duty and goodness of his heart, really doesn't feel well and only came in so we could have a quorum. So if anyone doesn't mind, I'd kind of like to try to breeze through this meeting sort of quickly so the people who don't feel well can go home and rest.
I'm fine, everybody.
I just had to pull him by the teeth to get him here.
My eating dad is calling me.
So we won't be having the oath of office tonight since Cody couldn't be here either. We'll go directly to roll call.
All right. So I'm going to read the names even though they're not here, and we'll just say absent. So Mr. Stephen Bowen is absent. Luke Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Louis Essikoff is absent. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Cody Parker is absent. Joe Trammell?
Here.
And Mayor Malkin?
Here. The few things I had to say, I think I'll save for new business rather than give a report now. I'll just save it for the end. So, come to public comment at 7:05, agenda items only. Would anyone like to comment on the agenda? There being none, close the public comment at 7:05 and a half.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve the January 7, 2019 reorganization of the council meeting minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? Roll call?
Right. So, Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve the January 7, 2019 regular council meeting minutes.
Second?
I will second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Correspondence?
You have just this that came in if you want to.
Well, I think we need to talk to Greg first, don't you think, to see?
No, this is the check from Comcast.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. We have a letter from Comcast, which I'll read. Pretty short. This was addressed, they didn't realize that Kathleen is our borough clerk now, so this is addressed to Deb Saproni, which is probably the last time they contacted us. She was the borough clerk. Dear Ms. Saproni, please find enclosed a check in the amount of $6,987.64 payable to Roosevelt Borough for the use of municipal rights of way by Comcast of Central New Jersey, LLC, during the calendar year 2018. Attached, you will also find the notarized affidavit as required under applicable state law. So basically, Comcast pays us every year, and this is almost just about $7,000, which is nice to have.
$7,000 a year?
I don't know if it's the same amount every year.
This is for new antennage, or this
no,
is because we
no,
have
it's because they use our it's municipal right of way. They just use our.
It's effectively a cable franchise tax.
Yeah.
Right, so who's ever using Comcast in the town? They give you a percentage. I would assume you're going to get. Do you have Verizon Fios in town?
Yeah,
but Verizon operates pursuant to a state franchise. I'm not sure we get the tax for that.
Okay.
I
think the state does.
Okay.
Millstone does? Oh, then maybe the municipality does get a piece of that. We should
so
get that too.
We
then.
Pay them or they pay us?
They're paying
they pay
us $7,000.
It's like rent for the use
yeah.
of their wires
okay.
in the right of
okay.
way. The state law provides right. that the municipality is entitled to compensation.
This has nothing to do with the new people that want
no.
to put.
Okay. Nothing at all.
No. That's cellular. That's
yeah.
totally different.
Okay.
This is cable TV.
Okay.
I think in the past, this didn't come to the council table, which is why none of us are familiar with it. I think Anna just handled it, and,
okay.
you know.
Okay.
So.
All right. Cool.
I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills, 1933.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that motion. Right.
Discussion? There being none?
If there's ever any question... anybody has any questions about the bills, I'm always available. So if anybody from the public wants to know what we spent on anything, I have good detail on any of that. So.
Okay, Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
I'd offer Resolution 1934 authorizing Roberts Engineering to administer and inspect the water main replacement project for Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar.
You have a second?
I'll second that.
Yeah. Discussion? Okay, mm-hmm. Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
I'd like to offer Resolution 1935 designating signers of checks for the borough.
Second?
I will second.
Were there any changes in signatures?
No, I think we, with the new council, I think we had to delete a couple and add a couple new ones. Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
To offer 1936 resolution setting fees for the recreational summer camp.
Summer? Oh.
I will second that.
Just the sound of those.
Yeah. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
I'd like to offer 1937 authorizing the County of Monmouth Mosquito Control Division to conduct aerial mosquito control operations, i.e. spraying within the borough.
Second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
I'd like to offer a resolution.
Well, I think we have to, you can offer, I think we have to table it, though, since it was going to be Cody and he's not here tonight, so.
I'll make a motion to table 1938 since Cody Parker's not here.
Second?
I'll second that.
We don't need a roll call to table, do we?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we come to reports of committee chairs. So, Michael Hamilton, you're first.
I tried to set up a finance committee meeting. I talked to the CFO or had an email exchange with him. The information that I'm looking for regarding last year's numbers and how much was carried over to this budget and all will be available as of this week. We couldn't have a meeting last week because of the reports, we just need a lot of reports and a lot of information. So we'll be scheduling a finance committee meeting first. And we're doing that to take a preliminary look at the upcoming budget. And actually, budget prep starts fairly early in the year by reviewing last year's numbers, what you spent, what you allocated, what you spent, and what you didn't spend so that you can reallocate things. End of report.
Sorry. Thanks, Mike. Joe, do you want to give your report, or do you want me to give you a synopsis?
Yeah.
Or I just didn't know if you felt well enough to speak.
No, you can do a synopsis.
Oh, you
want to talk to Greg afterwards about the sewer plant stuff there. Okay. The only thing that I have, aside from we have a stand collapse at the sewer plant, and we're working on that. And this is information on how the background of it. Aside from the sewer plant, there needs to be a bearing reinstalled or a fairly large job with the first trickling tank over there, and Carmela is looking at that. And across the street where we had a water main break last year, there seems to be water trickling up out of the street. John was on the case. He and I have looked that over for this past couple of days. We're keeping our fingers crossed that it's not a water main break, that it's possibly runoff from the hill that thawed out and is seeped under the road and is bubbling out. I want to talk to you about that. And also on Oscar Drive, just north of Oscar on 571, there's always water coming out of the street there. You know, so, yeah. Yeah, it happens, okay. So, yeah, no real report, but there are things going on, and we've got our eyes on them. You know, so, yeah. Okay.
What is the road that you're looking at, that water?
Rochdale,
right across the street from Brewer Hall here. We had a water main break last year.
Right. There's so much water in the ground, though.
Yeah, that's, we're hoping it's water in the ground, yeah. Because there was a lot coming out yesterday, and today it's not so much, so. Yeah. Okay. That's about it. Yeah. Otherwise, things seem to be percolating right along with the plants. So.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
Luke, you need development?
Nothing official for me yet, but gonna try to schedule our first meeting sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Sure.
Get the ball rolling. Some brainstorming.
Good. Okay, borough officials, Mike, do you have anything? Okay. So, both old business, well, the old business... Is that resolution, which, again, we'll have to table since Cody was going to be appointed to both those positions, so we'll table that till the next meeting.
Do we need a motion to table, or is it just carried
on? Oh,
yeah,
I guess we do.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to table the appointment of a Class 3 member to the planning board.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, new business. Kathleen, I guess I don't really need it, but discuss the list of hydrants. I don't really need to
read that. Yeah, I just
gave
you the list.
Oh, here it is anyway, yeah.
And I have the whole email if you need it.
Basically, John Holden provided us with a list of fire hydrants in town that need to be replaced. They're either faulty, not working properly. So I think there are 10 of them. Yeah. Well.
Some may be able to be repaired, but the other ones
have to
be replaced.
Yeah. So we'll have to. Do we have any idea the cost or what's involved? We'll have to find out what we can afford.
Yeah, that's where I think East Windsor, if we
come
work something
in,
out with them, they might be able to work out for us there.
Yeah. So we'll.
Yeah.
We have 10 right now that either.
Yeah,
need repair or replacement. Yeah. So the repair, John can do.
Ken.
Well,
Ken.
John will tell Ken,
works.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll find out exactly what it'll cost for the ones that need to be replaced and see what we can, which ones we can do.
Mm-hmm. Also on new business, because of the government shutdown that was going on and may still happen, Anna and I got in touch with Ron Dancer's office because he covers a lot of Burlington and Ocean counties where there are a lot of federal workers, and asked him what they might be doing to assist. And he suggested food banks. And, so if this happens
again
we should do a food bank here. He's also not him sponsoring, but there is legislation and the assembly for federal workers who are late on their property taxes to alleviate the interest on the property tax. I have to read the entire thing over, but the change to the legislation that is in, not voted on yet, I think it's 1404 or something like that. I'll look it up. But I'm going to send a copy of this to everyone so we can look at it, and if we want to say that we concur with this legislation, that I think would be it's a good thing to start making contact with our local representatives, whatever their political persuasion is, so that we can do for them and what they can do for us.
We do. We try to stay in contact.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be. If I mean, who knows? But I guess in about another 3 weeks,
the
there'll be another one.
Low, but, you know. So at some point, if this does happen again, we should definitely put the word out.
Yeah.
Some people would.
Okay, the second thing is use of the Barrow Hall on January 30th, 2019, from 6 to 10 to practice for the rap play.
Sure. We need a motion for that?
Second?
Is that Ron Costa's play?
Yeah.
I'll make a
motion. I think it is, right? Isn't it Ron's play?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'll second that, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And then use of Barrow Hall for Sunday, March 24th, May 12th, June 22nd, and June 23rd. That also for rap? Doesn't say. Must be.
Jennifer Tia.
Didn't I put her name in there? I apologize.
It's okay.
Yep.
And what
is that?
Family.
Oh, it's not a rap event. Okay.
It's all.
No, I'm
all
sorry.
4 days?
Wow.
Big family
good
event.
Party, yeah.
She has a birthday party, a family reunion, and an 80th birthday.
Cool.
Surprising. Yeah. Spoiling
what did you
it.
Say?
Today,
80th
birthday.
Okay.
That was my fault.
That's okay. So, do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, I'll discuss the things I want to discuss. I went to, as well as Greg, we both went to a Monmouth County meeting at the library last week that had to do with emergency services, basically our first aid squad, because there had been talk about this for a long time going countywide. The last I had heard, it was something like a 10-year, like they thought within 10 years it would be countywide, but now it seems that that's being accelerated quite a bit. There's a real need for it. As we all know, volunteerism is dying, and most towns can't sustain a full first aid squad. And so there's been a lot of problems. Now, many of the people that were there mentioned 15-minute waiting times for the ambulance and 20 minutes. But here in Roosevelt, I've gotten quite a few calls that it's been taking 45 minutes for the ambulance to get here, an ambulance. So we have, an even greater need than some of the other towns. And basically, this was an information gathering session. They wanted to know what,
Who had
The one of the freeholders, Tom Arone, and the sheriff, Sean Golden, and wasn't there a third person?
The
freeholder expert.
Arone, freeholder Aprovedudo, Sheriff Golden.
Yes.
And Sheriff Golden has hired, Andrew Caruso,
right.
Who formerly used to work for Monarch.
I was going to say, Monarch is no longer, or?
So here's what's happening, and I mean, I can tell you from my positions in various towns. So, for example, in Matawan and Aberdeen had two squads. Matawan had one squad in the town that I live in. We're now down to one squad between the two towns that share, and they're only able to cover at night. So there's a paid service where Aberdeen pays $8,000 a month, and Matawan pays, $4,000 a month. We pay $150,000 a year total to cover the two towns. It's about 30,000 people.
And that's through a paramedic association?
It's called through Alert Ambulance, which is a subsidiary of Meridian, I believe.
Okay.
But, I mean, as they pointed out at their presentation, that's a it's a good transport, but they're not really paramedic. They're not. So there's two different kinds of, let me start from the beginning. There's two different kinds of basic life support. There's BLS and ALS. But the alert ambulance and these vans, essentially transport services, aren't even really BLS. They're certified, but that's not what they do every day.
Can I just say BLS is basic life saving and ALS is advanced life saving?
Yeah. Right. And so ALS comes, there's regional ones. It's basically regionalized. And when there's a serious problem or someone has a serious emergency, they respond. There's no guarantee that. And by the way, there's no law whatsoever governing any of this.
Right.
Town doesn't even have to provide.
First aid.
Town can say, drive yourself to the hospital.
Yeah.
Unlike fire or police that are required under state statute, there is literally no statute that governs EMS. There are regulations from the Department of Health that describe what the EMT certification is required.
Right, right.
There are requirements under the nonprofit rules and under the Department of Health as to the minimum requirements you must sustain in order to bill people for service.
Right.
So you have to have two EMTs on the truck minimum,
right, right,
things like that. Okay. But generally speaking, other than the health department regulations, there's no legal requirements. And so what's happening is, as the volunteer squads are dwindling in number because very few people are around during the day, and
yep,
especially in commuter towns like the ones I live in. Out here you have, you know, down south they're having a little better luck with volunteerism.
Yep.
And along the shore, because the population tends to be older and has more time.
Yep.
But the inner parts of the county and the commuter parts of the county are essentially, their EMS squads are defunct, or are only covering at night. And the cost to each municipality or group of municipalities that group together is determined essentially by one thing, the insured rate amongst the people that they're picking up or could potentially pick up.
You say insured rate, you mean their personal health insurance?
Whether they have health insurance or not.
Right.
So when you go to a place like Monroe, right?
Right.
Monroe has a paid government service, and it fully supports and self-liquidating because most of the people who live in Monroe are over the age of 65 and have Medicare.
Yeah, their ambulance squad is in their firehouse.
Right. That's a government-run EMS.
Right.
So those people are paid, they're unionized, they show up, but it funds itself by being paid through Medicare because 80% of the population in town is over the age of 65.
Right. Okay.
You get to a commuter town where it's all, you know, younger people, families, young professionals, or places where around the trains.
Yep.
Forget about it. So Red Bank, the other town where I'm the borough attorney, pays $320,000 a year for EMS service, just to have an ambulance cover EMS. Their volunteer squads are defunct.
And the hospital's right there, in the middle of
the hospital's right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, they pay the same thing. Alert ambulance. They actually did a bid. One person came in at $480. 440 and 360 was the best deal.
Per year?
I'm sorry, 320 per year.
Okay.
Correct. So they pay over $25,000 a month just for EMS service.
Yeah.
So when you start to add all these things together, a couple things become obvious. One, I brought it to Mattawan and Aberdeen because I saw what was happening everywhere else, and once ours started to go, I knew we had to team up with other towns.
Mm-hmm.
We've since reached out to Hazlitt and Holmdel. What's really happening is, unless you have a big enough risk pool to bid, or enough to equalize out the insured rates between the cities and the towns, there's going to be some towns that are literally not going to be able to afford this.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's going to happen? And so the sheriff sees this as a public, I don't want to say an emergency at this
necessity.
Point, but sees it coming that you're going to have towns in the county that literally can't afford to pay for the ambulance service. Like what happens if Long Branch, their volunteers go out, or Keyport covers a lot of the Bayshore, if their towns go out, you got four or five towns. Middletown is actually in the most dire straits. Middletown, the way Middletown goes, typically the way the county goes, just in general, because of the people who run the county and where they're from, which is typically Middletown, and because Middletown's the biggest town in the county, Middletown has a serious EMS problem. They have 60,000 people, and they're down to five squads and about 30 active members. And their bill for EMS is just to get an ambulance to pick up to be there is going to be about to be $1 million for Anthony Mercante, the administrator of Middletown.
Do the civilians have to pay for the service if Medicaid doesn't pay or whatever?
No, I mean, so most people do soft billing. So what happens is if you have Medicare, the 20% you have to pick up, otherwise Medicare won't keep paying. So that's your obligation. So if you have an employer, whatever that 20% hole is, however you cover that normally or for your medical bills, you have to cover that the ordinary way. But on regular private insurance, typically they just soft bill. So they'll bill, and then they won't actually sue you or try to collect the money. So when you're doing that, the insurance companies will pay $400, $300, $400, $500, $600 a ride. And you can do well if there's a high insured rate, and you can actually run a government service. But the places where that's feasible are places like Monroe, peculiar places that aren't the average town in the county.
Yep.
And so what the sheriff sees coming is there's going to be towns that are going to get billed for $1 million, $2 million, God knows how much money, and they're not going to be able to afford it. Or they're going to have to go to referendum for their budgets, and maybe the populace votes it down, so they literally can't pay for it. So then what are you going to have, no ambulance service? I mean, and then the sheriff's going to have to step in. So the sheriff sees it coming already. And at this point in time, there still are the frameworks of these, and basically what these guys are doing, and the point of the presentation was, look, we're going to start to prepare for this. We're getting a survey from every of the towns. We're seeing the condition of each town, where everyone's at. There are some towns, like Keyport is in the best shape in the entire county. Keyport has the premier squad basically in the entire county. They have all the bells and whistles, all the toys.
And they have a hospital, too.
They have Bayshore Hospital. It's in Holmdel, but I keep it literally right across the border. And they have a good mix of age-restricted communities. They actually go out into the other communities and do a lot of mutual aid and then build their other residents. Mm-hmm. And they have basically one of the only viable squads. And so what the sheriff is looking at is you have a viable squad in Keyport. You have the pieces of squads in places. You have a ton of ambulance equipment. We have all the equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, all the towns already have the equipment they need it's manpower is the problem.
Yeah.
So what they were talking about doing is essentially taking on, if your volunteer EMS service starts to go out and you have those five or six dedicated people left, that they'll pay them basically a sheriff's officer's wage. They'll pay them and make them union employees, bring them under the county's banner, and they're going to talk to the town about donating buildings, infrastructure, liquidating buildings, and then investing it back into the infrastructure of the EMS. Because all the assets are out there amongst these nonprofits and the towns and however we're all individually running the towns.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sheriff's goal is not to force everyone into the system, but when the time comes that your town is facing a crisis, which honestly, as the borough attorney in four towns last year, and coming up before this year, I mean, every single town has this problem, plus the fifth one that I'm in, plus the one that we've teamed up with next door. So there's six towns that every single one I know has an EMS problem. Not enough volunteers.
So we're really talking, the sheriff and everybody, this is just Monmouth County. How about statewide?
Statewide? Well, that's interesting. So the sheriff laid out the research they've done thus far. So one of the interesting parts is there's other people that have had this problem. So they went around the county and they started to look at how they operate. So Passaic County has a few ambulances, and they basically run more of a training program. So what they'll do is they'll bring you under the county banner. It's like an intern program, and then they train you, and then they hope that you go back to your town, and the county pays for the training for the people.
Mm-hmm.
As far as an actual effective ambulance service picking people up, not really effective. It's essentially just for people to get their feet wet and for the county to pick up the cost of training. Because, here's the thing. You need two EMTs on a rig to bill, right? So to have those two EMTs on a rig, you have to have a bunch of trained EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
Costs about $1,200 to train an EMT.
But that's an EMT, not a paramedic.
Right.
EMT. Paramedic is totally different. ALS.
Yeah,
we're talking about BLS,
yeah, okay.
Which are the vast majority,
yeah.
95% of the calls that are out there.
Right, right.
So what they were saying is it's a spiral. So what happens is your membership gets down, so you don't have enough people to make the calls, so you make less money on your soft billing, so then you don't have the money to train more members, then you have less members to go out on the calls, and it's a debt spiral. So what with Passaic, the county provides support for that training. And they'll essentially pick up the training, you can ride around, they're basically volunteers, they can come in, they can pick up the ambulance, and they can just ride around the county and wait for calls as a mutual aid thing, but it's basically not really organized more than this is the place to train, they have some shiny stuff that has people interested in training. There's two other counties that do it. Have a small 7 to 12 rig squad at the county level that essentially provides mutual aid. The Gloucester County has 23 of 24 towns are under the county dispatch, county EMS system. They have 20-some ambulances or 18-some ambulances. They're a full county on the county response when you call 911. Essentially where it comes down to. And they grew from starting with eight towns that were having a problem and then grew into the 23.
Okay.
So what Sheriff Golden is looking to do is basically get the infrastructure in place at Freehold, at the county level in the sheriff's office,
mm-hmm.
to start to provide support. So if they're going to start with, they have a couple of ambulances. They're going to start with training people, bringing people on, having some volunteers. As the EMS lights start to go out in the towns, they're going to call the county, and the county is essentially going to agree to pick them up. They're going to work out deals with individual towns, whatever works for your town. You got six volunteers. Here's the county uniform. Here's all Class A equipment. They're now county employees. They're mostly going to respond to your town and bring the ambulance, have the nonprofit donate the ambulances to the county. The county is going to start to gather equipment and manpower, and over time, they're looking to make it Gloucester, but they're not looking to, like, one day they're going to flip a switch and then you're going to call it, the county's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be town by town, essentially, is how they're going to do it. So when your town, basically, the meeting was essentially, we're setting this up so that if the time comes in your town, you know who to call. when you have this problem. When you get the bid for, you know, more money than you can afford, you need to call the county and the sheriff, and we'll be here, and hopefully there'll be four other towns, where already literally lights are out, and we're going to start helping them first.
Did any of our guys go?
This was just for the mayors, or...
Not for...
No.
Just for elected officials.
They will be meeting soon. They said they're going to meet with the various squads very soon.
Freeholders.
No, I mean, the freeholders,
yeah,
the sheriff and everyone who held this meeting, they're holding another meeting.
Okay, then they'll meet with individuals.
Andrew Caruso is in charge of this program.
Yeah.
Okay. He is sending out surveys to all 53 towns,
okay.
Sending out surveys to every squad of which they're aware exists.
Right.
After they get those surveys, sitting down with everyone, figuring out where everyone's at.
Yeah.
What you're going to see is, you're going to see the towns where it costs a lot of money. Like, you're going to see Red Bank call the county. Now, the other thing, too, is, this doesn't affect you guys, but for other towns, in order to get, they told us that part of the string to become part of the county EMS system is going to be getting on the county dispatch system. You guys are already on there because
yep.
you're part of the state police.
Yep.
But in a town like Red Bank that has its own dispatch room
right.
in town, you're going to have to convert all those radios. Probably going to cost $500,000, $600,000 for all the equipment and reinstalling all the equipment in the cars.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also comes with saved labor costs. So every town is going to find itself in a different position.
Yeah,
there's some EMSs like
yeah.
where the town owns the building.
Right.
There's other EMSs like Mattoon and Aberdeen. They're a completely separate entity. They bought the building for cash themselves from a third
right.
party.
Right.
So they're a nonprofit. They can donate to that whoever they want.
Right.
It's all going to be, and basically ultimately what they didn't say this out loud, but I've seen it in five towns now, six towns. What happens is the last few volunteers don't want to give up the squad.
The local,
they will have title and legal authority over all the equipment, and there's no one to turn to, so it puts the elected officials in a position of just wielding sticks. There's no carrots to give. Town doesn't have the money to make this work. Squad doesn't have the manpower to make this work, and so all the sticks come out. I've seen it happen in four towns already. And so what the sheriff is doing as a practical matter is he's bringing the carrots to the party.
Yeah.
And saying, look, we're not just gonna close down the CMS.
Yeah.
We're gonna co-opt it as part of the county, and we're gonna make an arrangement so that the volunteers are happy. They can maybe, if some of them are interested, they can continue to be volunteers at the
yeah.
county level,
yeah.
or they can be paid. We'll pay them like a living wage, not $11.50 like Obridge Thames pays, or $12 an hour like Alert pays. We'll pay people $25 an hour to be county EMS employees if they want to do that, so that they have a place to go. They don't feel like they're kicked out of your town. So it was a really, I thought it was a very,
yeah.
it was a lot of foresight
really
for the sheriff's part.
It's a heads up. It's a heads up for all the towns.
Well, I mean, we've had the need for so long, but I didn't really expect
this
quickly.
This has been written on the wall for years
right.
in New Jersey,
so
but this is at least on a county level that
yeah.
they're grabbing it by the horns.
And I think there were, wasn't also
yeah.
Essex and Warren County, I think, or countywide?
Yes, those
and
are the ones that run as countywide
right.
mutual
I mean,
aid support.
Apparently, they've all had been pretty
yeah.
successful when they've
now
run
was
countywide.
Was Monarch an organization or a business?
I don't know how they're organized. I think they might be a nonprofit health corporation,
yeah. okay.
so they have some qualified immunities.
Yeah,
but long story short, they attempted to do this on a private level.
Monarch.
Yes,
yeah.
Andy Caruso, the guy who's doing it for the sheriff's office.
Right.
The problem is in the private market, it just didn't work. Okay. Couldn't convince the people up above to have a. Here's the difference between the sheriff and the private, because there's a number of private services that are looking to make this a business model, a line, right?
Mm-hmm.
RWJ is already doing Allentown, and I renegotiated the contract in Allentown.
RWJ out of New Brunswick?
They're coming
yeah,
to Allentown.
And
up, a good example is they're coming to Allentown and Upper Freehold during the day for free, because the insured rates in Allentown and Upper Freehold are so high that they know they're going to get paid. So they don't actually charge the towns any money. They just agree to answer the calls during the day, and then they go to an RWJ hospital, and then you have your vertical integration of your
health
system, right? It's RWJ Barnabas.
Barnabas, right.
Okay. Are the people, the ambulance service during the day in Allentown and Upper Freehold.
Okay.
Because their squad was down to six people, and they could only cover the night. So this year is the first year that the Allentown First Aid Squad will not cover the entire town all day.
Okay.
It'll be... RWJ during the day, and the RWJ, because of the insured rates in the town, didn't charge them anything, and the population, and it's not a ton of people, and
so
they're all insured.
The insured
so
insured rate, you're talking about people that have health insurance.
The rate of paying
health insurance
for ambulance rides amongst the population.
Right.
So
okay.
people who have bare base bone plans,
yeah.
We're talking about people who typically have your average employer based health insurance. That's basically qualifies. Mostly covers ambulance, right? It'll
do
cover
we
your ambulance.
Where we stand in this town with insured rates, or
The population in this town, I mean, just relatively demographically, is older. So I'd imagine that you're pretty decent, if I had to bet. Because once you turn 65, everyone has Medicare.
Yeah.
So, and the population rate in your town relative, I believe your average age here is like in the late 50s.
Or 80.
What's that? No, I mean, overall in the town, if I remember correctly, when I was interviewing for this job and Wikipediaing the hell out of you guys, I think it was like 50, his high 50s was the average age
makes
here.
Sense,
so you'd probably be okay in that regard. But it was a very interesting. Very interesting presentation. Very interesting
and very
problem.
Nonpartisan. Was like
and what I was saying was the difference between the private companies that who are trying to do this and the sheriff is the sheriff has the ability because of
government.
Yeah. And because of just generally it's not corporate based, the feeling you get from the sheriff versus a private company is the squads can be adopted in. So the infrastructure, these private companies, Monica's trying to build it from scratch. They're trying to, they bought 16 ambulances and they tried to cover half the county. And they almost went out of business doing it.
Yeah.
So, and then now they're back to advanced life support. Okay. But, you know, the private company had to buy everything from scratch at full rate on loan, right? The government, the sheriff has a significant advantage.
Yeah.
And particularly if the sheriff is able to convince the volunteer squads to become part of a county EMS where the infrastructure and the assets of the squads, because there's millions and millions of dollars in assets of squads and buildings that have no lights on. If those assets could be used versus buying everything for free, that's kind of the sheriff's plan. One by one, like they did in Gloucester, go from 4 towns to 8 towns to 12 towns to 20 towns till everyone is basically.
You said eventually everyone joins.
There's going to be a tipping point. If the sheriff's covering 23 towns or 24 towns, no matter who, if anyone is paying for the service to someone else, there's no way the sheriff can't beat the price at that point, is really what it comes down to.
So more information will just come down the pipe.
Yeah.
They're in the process of geo-mapping the calls from their 911 system to determine where, if they were to do a countywide EMS system. They're basically doing strategic planning.
Yeah.
As the volunteer squads go out, they will be prepared to come in to help the elected officials solve the problem without basically, I mean, in most towns are left with the choice of do a bid and pay a private ambulance and fire the volunteers because the volunteers aren't going to work for the private ambulance. Whereas they have this option to volunteer with the county, which is a huge difference. You know, it's basically, it becomes an either or. In every town that I've been in, it becomes either we're going to pay the private ambulance service or we're going to keep the volunteers. It's not like they're mutually exclusive. The sheriff's providing basically a third rail, which is.
Stick.
Right, carrots. Which is, hey, give us your squad, turn over your squads to the county, and you guys can either be, you can come on with us, either in your capacity as volunteers. On a countywide force where the owner, you know, you're not feeling incredibly guilty at 3 o'clock in the morning because you're one of three people who's in the town who's going to get out of bed for someone when you get a heart attack call or something, right? Or you can come on as paid and make this a real career, you know, versus, because a lot of these EMS squads, they pay like anywhere between 12 and 15, 18 bucks an hour. And so the people just switch jobs from job to job to job, whatever squad's paying the highest.
Yeah.
You know, there's not, it's like lifeguarding. With you know, you get a lot of younger people who are just looking for the next buck. So they were excited about that.
All right.
It was very encouraging because apparently the towns have been contacting the sheriff, saying we have a real problem here.
The sheriff is going to be the one
that's taking action.
Monmouth County is also the largest county in New Jersey, I think square miles or whatever. Right?
Physically, you mean?
Physically?
I don't think so.
Size? Burlington?
Yeah,
size wise, I was going to say Salem or Burlington.
One
of the Cumberland.
Yeah.
Okay.
And population wise, we're behind Essex, Hudson, Bergen.
Yeah, we're like right in the middle, aren't we? Kind of.
One of the richest.
And
richest, but not
maybe
one
middle
of the
richest,
population.
Yeah.
Like
six
or seven.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
great. Good.
Let's hope that they do the right
thing. It was really.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever left a meeting like that, feeling really encouraged. I mean, they're actively.
They had good ideas.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like, hey, send us the bill for the dispatch system and you're going to have to sign up for this or you're going to be left out in the cold kind of thing. And really, they had really thought about the problem and they really had a really good policy solution, which is to let it grow on its own and die on its own and organically.
So Caruso was part of Monarch?
He used to work for Monarch.
Okay.
Now he works for the sheriff.
As an administrator or...?
He was one of their operations people. Mm-hmm. He was the guy who came before Aberdeen put the bid out for Alert. we had law in with Mattawan. Right. Mattawan was okay with their EMS. Half of our town was okay, but one of our the EMS on the beach side of our town went out. The Cliffwood right. EMS was out of service. There was no one there. Right. And our the squad on the other side of town couldn't cover both during the day. They could do one side of town, but they couldn't do the other. So Monarch, he came in, and he negotiated with us, the guy who was there, negotiated with us to put a Monarch truck in Cliffwood. And then within a couple of years, the Mattawan EMS had a problem, and then we combined them all together, and then we bid it. And by that time, Monarch had us, like half the Bayshore, and they monetarily pulled out. They pulled away from all the towns. They canceled all their contracts with the towns at the end of 2017. And so then all the towns went out to bid last year, and Alert is the best was the best priced in basically like Bayshore shore area, and RWJ is basically the Panhandle and the southern part. It's basically where the hospitals are that they're centered by, and so that's essentially how the county at this point privately is broken up, mostly, with a few stragglers.
Okay, good information.
Nice. Yeah, it was good. All right, and the last thing I wanted to mention was that I attended a school board meeting last Thursday night. I'm not sure if most of you, if you're aware that the Roosevelt Public School is in dire straits financially. The state has reconfigured how they fund schools, and so we've already lost $21,000 for this year, and it's on target to, I think, by either 20 or 21, lose $500,000, at which point it couldn't function. The purpose of the state, this reconfiguration, is I think they don't want any schools less than 1,000 students to be, you know, autonomous. They want to merge them. So what the school board is doing is looking into all the different alternatives. On our end, I would like us to be able to start meeting with our state representatives to see. Because we have unique qualifications. You know, we have our historic designation. We have, so hopefully, you know, there might be some possible way to be an exception, skirt around it. But in the meantime, the board is looking at everything from becoming a charter school to be, right now they're a choice school, but a choice school and a charter school are completely different from each other. Mm-hmm. They're also in talks with Millstone and East Windsor if we do have to merge.
Millstone sends their high school students to the Upper Freehold, to Allentown still.
Yeah, as far as I know, they go to Allentown, but, right, well, they're just looking right now at grade school.
Okay, now, what I noticed also about New Egypt and Dancer, used to be mayor over there, and he's going to do the two jobs at the same time. He did legislation to get them their school a pass for this coming year.
Well, Thompson, Clifton, and Dancer are working very hard to override this. Okay, they're completely against the state's vision of this. And so I did receive a letter from them where they're working very hard.
Yeah.
They do not want this to take place.
Yeah.
One of the ideas, I'm not sure if you know about this, Jeb, but an idea that's been brought up by someone many times is to sell the mural and put a replica up of the mural that's there. Apparently, they have some idea of what it's worth, and they would like to sell the mural. Well, there's someone would like to sell the mural and put up a replica. And
I've heard about it.
Yeah. And
about closing your school?
Well, because if we lose the $500,000, we couldn't function without that money. That's supposedly the school will close by 21 or 22 or 23.
I'm not aware of it.
10 feet tall and about 30
feet
wide.
You just have to pick up the income, the deficit, which would mean you'd have to raise taxes.
Or a lot of people discussed fundraising, actually going.
There are a lot of other alternatives that I'm sure we could get into a more lengthy discussion.
What kind of a deadline are we looking at here? I mean, this year,
it's imminent.
21,000.
This year we lost 21,000. It's on target to lose
2019.
Yeah, it's on target to lose $500,000 by 20. They think the school can last until 23, but I think within a few years lose $500,000. So they're obligated to look into alternatives because they don't want the school to close. So whether it becomes a charter school or whatever, that, but said they, it behooves them to look into that now, because you can't wait until, you know, 2022 and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
oh, we
yeah,
don't.
Now you have to look,
but
right.
Also, I think on our end, we need to start meeting with all of our state representatives,
yeah,
to try to see if we can pigeonhole Roosevelt into a whole separate, well, it count, the public will be in a minute, so. Did you, well, if you want, did you want to add anything to that, Mary, since
can
you
we
were there?
Can we go right to the public?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's
yeah
just, okay, so
yeah,
okay.
That's it for new business. So I'm going to open the meeting for public comment at 7:49. Any comments from the public, Mike?
Okay, I just wanted to point out that one thing that distinguishes the school from any other schools that might be threatened with closure is that in the event that there's no public school, elementary school operated there, that under the terms of the deed restriction that the property was given under, the title reverts to the federal government.
Right.
So there's, you know, anybody contemplating regionalizing with us, you know, can't count on getting the building and then
building
selling it, because they won't have any title to sell it to,
yeah,
them. And then we have to figure out how we deal with the federal government.
Yeah, we don't actually
this building
own it.
That's in the middle of our property in the town. That now the federal government will control, including the monument and the mural and everything else.
Yeah.
That's
the heart
it
of the town. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
The it's the hub. It's the absolute hub
and
of the town.
If the school wasn't there, then
yeah,
the
we have
town
to have
is
our
like
school
outpost. You know? Yeah.
Did you want to come up, Mary?
yeah. Also, they
just for the record.
Oh, Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive.
Thank you.
Also, the president of the school board said that while they are trying to look at all the things that could be done, the regionalization and things like that, they will be needing to raise their budget by the 2% cap. There doesn't have to be a vote on the budget as long as they don't raise the budget more than 2%. And they anticipated that the first year, which is coming up next year, I think, is $400 per year per household. And then it will be 2% of a bigger budget,
right,
and 2% of bigger. So I would say in like 4 years or so, that would mean the impact will be
$1,000. Yeah,
we'll
write it off. It's
yeah
almost
$35
a month.
I'm confused. How are you losing money?
The state aid.
Children?
No. The state has decided that if you are not a K through 12 district, they don't want
they
you to exist
you
anymore.
So
apparently, they said a law, this law
so
was actually.
So your formula for K through 8 districts
yeah
decreased?
Yeah.
And then your population is simultaneously
yeah
decreasing here?
Yes.
So you're like Neptune City.
Yeah, they
City
apparently this they said it's already a law. It was passed like 8 years ago. It's never been enforced,
enacted,
and they
right
said it's being enforced now. And here's another thing we've got to look at. Roosevelt is the only school that will have to close down.
Yes, that's
with this
right
formula.
Yeah.
Now, our legislators, are they looking to change this for all schools that have lost money, or just us?
No, all
for
schools.
For all schools.
All schools in their district.
Okay.
Well, I know for New Egypt, they did a special trick for New Egypt.
Well, they didn't have to do
it
this year because it hasn't occurred yet. But
this year they lost 21,000.
Yeah, and Roosevelt
right
did, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, how soon can we, like, get on
it
this? Can we go start, like, next week or the week after?
It has to be a minute.
Meet with them, our legislators, and just be talking to them about how serious this is for us. And any budget planning should take into account the fact that people's taxes are already going to go up by about,
yeah, about $35
absolutely
a month.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you definitely don't want an increase, and it would be great to have a decrease in municipal taxes to help offset it.
Right.
But then you got the squeeze coming from both directions, you know.
Right.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we need to.
Yeah, that's why, boy, it has to be imminent.
So where do the kids
yeah
go if they don't go here?
Down, heights down.
Wait.
Who knows?
Well, if you
yeah
live here,
nothing
you
has worked out
unless
yet.
Well,
yeah,
you go here K through yeah 8, but where
right
would they
oh
go?
Oh, then
the
they go
ones
to. Well, right now they go to East Windsor School District for middle school and high school.
Oh.
But of the schools that they talked to, they said East Windsor
that's
seemed
really
the least
yeah
friendly.
Right, and
Millstone
wasn't
odd
so.
Allentown's a good school district too. It could be worse. Like Neptune City School might close, and those kids have to go to Neptune. And their parents are not happy about
it. East Windsor was not happy, and Millstone wasn't really happy either. Nobody wants us. Which is fine, because we want to remain.
Well, I know it wants to add expense, but wow, that's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this
and
was
it's imminent.
Yes.
It's imminent. Yeah. It's
and the charter school situation, which actually they said a charter school is a public school, and a lot of teachers were at the meeting. The teachers are, of course, worried. But they said the teachers could still, you know, have their jobs if the school turns into a charter school. However, no school district in New Jersey has ever successfully gone from a public school to a charter school.
You know, Mary,
couples have tried it.
No,
and
you know
it didn't work.
Ken said that, but Rick Pressler didn't really back him up.
Oh, yes.
He said in Camden it didn't work well, but Rick didn't say that it never worked well. He mentioned Camden, which didn't.
That's the only two that have tried it,
And he said it didn't work because of technicalities.
Right.
Not because it wasn't a good idea or it wasn't.
That'll save your school, but that'll increase the taxes even more.
Very complicated to do.
Yeah.
And also, other school districts there's a comment period, and other school districts around, they won't want us to be a charter school and draw students away from them.
You should pay
so
two school taxes then.
No.
If you form a charter school, so for example, the people in Red Bank have a charter school.
Yeah.
They don't technically pay two school taxes, but they pay for their charter. They pay a school tax that includes the cost of their charter school and the cost of their K-8 district and the cost of their contribution to the high school RBR, Red Bank Regional District. So they actually pay three different school districts' taxes.
We would only
because that charter school would save your school, but you would pay to have your own school, and it wouldn't save you any money. You'd actually end up paying wherever legally the kids would go to public school. You'd pay your equalized share to them, and then you'd pay the charter school levy as well.
Well, we still it'd only be one school. Our charter school.
No,
one
but
school.
You're but yeah. You, yeah. The charter school you oh. couldn't. I don't think you could form a charter school that we could accept everyone from the municipality, but if the kids in your town don't want to go to the charter school, you can't force them to go there. They go to whatever the public district is, which means that for them to be entitled to doing that, you either you have to pay the other district.
Okay. Yeah.
So you end up paying three different school districts.
Yeah.
That's what the people in Red Bank did. Their schools were terrible in the 90s, and so they created a charter school.
Okay.
And now the public schools are okay, and it's the bane of everyone's existence because they'll never get rid of that charter school. They tried to get rid of it the last time the charter was up, but now the residents all there pay three different school taxes, and it ends up costing them about $1,200 a house.
RBR is in Fairhaven, right?
Well, because so K through 8 is in Red Bank. There's a Red Bank town district just like you guys. They have a K through 8. They have a charter school that's K through 8. That's in addition to the other schools in the town, and separate. And then their kids go to RBR in
Fairhaven.
In the district with Shrewsbury and Rumson, Fairhaven are different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in Shrewsbury is where RBR is. The two Shrewsburys, Little Silver and Red Bank, all go together at RBR, but they pay. You know, they have their own special little school. It's really a nice school, but they pay out the nose for it.
RBR is Red Bank Regional?
Yes.
Yeah, just in
Mary,
case.
Can
anyone?
I ask a question? I don't know if you know the answer. What's the capacity of the school?
I asked that the other night.
Yeah.
150.
150. What's the current enrollment, roughly?
80-something. It's really 80-something. Low.
So you have a lot of capacity there.
Yeah.
I was
the
surprised.
The state would release their cap on choice students and allow us. Now, I don't know how that would work where we would be able to have that many choice students come in. That would add revenue to the system.
Yeah.
And all you'd need to do is convince the state.
Well, it has been going the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. It's cutting the number of choice students.
Well, as a historic town with a historic school with a historic
rural. We have some things in our...
We should be able to. This could be a magnet school for the arts.
And as Mary said, we would be the only school forced to close.
Approaches that we have that we can work with some of the
staff. I was surprised.
All of the approaches and committee all of those different approaches together and bombard each other one day with that, and then go to the county, the state, and
under the current rules.
We are the only one that would close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I was
first, but they're going to keep squeezing after you.
I was surprised to hear that we were down to 80, because even when our kids were there, it was like 94 or something. So
we're K through 6.
And that includes choice
pre-K,
students,
pre-K,
which
are
30-some.
There's 30-some choice students.
Right. We used to have more choice students until the school started cutting, the state started to cut down on the number of choice students.
Yeah,
they
won't. Yeah, that's why we lost some.
But, I mean,
the president of the school board said he will be producing a talking points list so that people can write letters and things like that about the amount we're going to lose and how we'll be the only school to close down. But if you all can go to meet with our legislators and then see how far you get, and then I think we can get people writing letters, going to the offices. Somebody suggested. Nona suggested we invite Governor Murphy to speak
graduation. Not to bombard him with this, just let him see Roosevelt just coming. But we have had many dignitaries speak at our graduation, so couldn't hurt to ask him to, especially if we ask early, give him the date.
I think we need to start working on it.
Immediately.
Right away, because somehow the school board said they didn't feel it was, they could go to the legislators, they're pursuing these other avenues anyway, so it's really...
Well, they weren't interested in pursuing the legislators because they feel that they'd better work on this first, because if we are not successful, they've got to be able to send the kids to a school.
It makes sense that they would work on alternative scenarios, we could do the political.
Michael, the school says that they own the mural and they can sell it. Do you think that's true, or is it the federal government's?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, the mural. Perhaps they do own it because the mural was taken out of the. It's not attached to the real estate anymore. So, I mean, they own everything there now. The question,
came out to get repaired and it went back in.
Yeah, right. But it was put. It's attached to the. It's not. It used to be on the wall. Okay. It was taken. The paint was taken off the wall, sent to Italy, restored, put back on frames. Right. The frames are detachable, so the frames aren't part of the real estate anymore.
I have to say that idea really drives me crazy.
I don't like that.
It makes me nauseous.
It's public art.
Yeah,
that's right.
It belongs.
It's our public art.
It's your
public
art.
It's
from this town.
That's correct.
Yeah. It's the thought of that.
It's designed for that.
Absolutely.
It's unfathomable.
I'd move it if you thought you were going to lose the building.
That's not a long-term solution.
Anyway, of course,
right? Well,
like
our budget is removed.
Of course,
it's no long-term solution. That's for sure.
It's a very temporary.
No, it's not a solution.
Yeah, that's
what I just want to do.
And I think,
in favor
of these things. But I mean, honestly, I think the town would just. I don't think that would.
The town would be up in arms.
Yeah.
Very
think you guys would let it leave town.
I said there'd be a revolution if that.
I've heard everyone here talk about that mural.
Yeah.
Every single person, Roosevelt that I've ever met, talks about that mural.
Oh my God!
I don't think you guys would let it leave the town.
Jeb's father-in-law painted it, and
whose idea was it to sell?
The school board president.
All right, I'm gonna stay away from.
Who never looked at it? And going up the row with all the Prespatinos and the and all the famous artists. Pictures in the hallway going to the clip.
I don't know. I'm talking
It's too high up.
No.
Okay.
Right, anything else?
Yeah, I don't feel
good. I have just a couple
Hold on. Yeah.
Well, I really just asked Michael about who actually owns it.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
I'm not too sure.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Mary. You were speaking. I interrupted to ask Michael.
Then I just wondered the plans moving ahead with the water main replacement. Are we going to use the HDPE pipe that was the more longer lasting? Do we have any more details on the actual work?
I'm
pretty sure that's what we're going to use.
Okay. And I have an email that I could forward to you, Joe. It was some kind of a bill passed, Water Infrastructure Flexibility Act, passed Congress, and it had to do with setting up
New
more
Jersey or
federal.
No, it's federal. Okay.
And it had to do with more funding for things like storm drains and sewage and stuff like that, sewer pipes. So
I didn't
I'll
get
send
that one yet,
to you.
But tomorrow.
And let's see, the only other thing I wanted to ask you about the spraying for the mosquitoes. When we did our stream monitoring, we actually found little fish in the creek this time. Mm-hmm. So I wondered, do they put fish to eat the mosquitoes as well as the chemicals?
Do we put to the
Does
mosquito
the county?
Commission?
As far as I know, they don't even
spray unless they deem it necessary.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
I never heard.
This is a scout. I think they send a plane or a helicopter.
That's what I thought happened.
Yeah.
But we
scout.
Farmed
yeah.
Several little fish.
Really?
Oh no, I've had fish in my creek. I've got
so put fish in.
Yeah, I believe.
Do they put them in?
I was with the health department and they
They put fish in, too.
It's under the health department. I believe they do. They use all sorts of strategies that can be used in mosquitoes.
Okay. And having
specific fish that eat the larvae as part of it, they would do that.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's a better thing than spraying chemicals.
Than
and
spray,
I just
yeah.
wondered,
but
since
I
it only talked about spraying.
Well, that's
that
because
we
that's what they send us about this spraying.
But
they've been laying bat boxes, too.
How do those fish
affect? We have bat
oh,
boxes
good.
Here.
How do those fish affect the ecosystem if they're an invasive species?
They're all
no,
natural.
I don't.
Are they all natural?
They put in, we couldn't identify them. I don't know if they stock down here. I don't know what the body of water is. But in Madawan, they put in trout, bass.
Dinner.
Over in the
Assapank. Sunny's.
Yeah, that's good.
And Assapank, they
put it on regular,
they stock
all
that.
Native
yeah,
fish.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
that's
good.
They didn't identify them.
But for
that
the.
Be better choice.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
tell you what they did do. They ate all the seaweed in the lake.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank
you.
Right.
Thank you, Mary.
Anyone else? Ted?
things keep coming up. I put up a bat. Oh, Jeff Sean, 18 tomorrow drive. I put up a bat box, and I did it all according to careful research, and I can't get any bats. And I'm right near the swamp.
Are the squirrels living in it?
No.
Nothing. Cats?
Nothing's living in it. I don't have cats. Anyway, onward.
If the box smells like cats, they won't come in.
No, it does. It's. I really. It's all perfectly prepared, and it faces the swamp, and it's up high enough, and all everything. So I'll hope for next year. You're supposed to put them up. When they're new, a season before, like in the fall, if you want the bats to come in the following season, because you want the wood to weather and not have any new smell to it. So I did all that, and it didn't work.
Bats all over my yard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bring some over. Anyway.
Send them a this way. Put up a this way sign towards our house.
I am delighted about this countywide ambulance stuff. I think it's fantastic, and it just sounds really good. And I'm only here this evening because Jeff is taking care of things at home, and he would have loved to have heard this, so I will go home and tell him.
I told him the other day. I said I have to talk to you about what
well,
I learned at the
meeting.
He must
have really been happy.
No, I didn't have a chance to. I
oh.
sent him that text and then didn't have a chance
oh.
to talk to him.
Okay. My original plan for what I wanted to say when I came here was that, first of all, I think things are looking very nice around town. But all these other issues that come up get back to the basic need for money. And I think that I would really, really urge the Community Development Committee to work like crazy, really trying to get business activity in town. I mean, I know that there's difficulty with the deli, but
I would call that impossibly
no,
difficult.
No, yeah, but I think that that has instead of working really hard on it and giving up, I think what has to be is just a never-ending attempt to communicate. But
Jed,
I know.
Every week I text him every single week.
Yeah, and he doesn't respond, right? So something else has to be done. Meanwhile,
I've also written him a letter on Burrowhead paper.
I know he hasn't responded.
Fall, yeah.
But
actually, he did. He responded for a while. He was responding.
That's what I heard, and then
and
he
then
gave
he
up. And as I understand it, the real catch is the liquor license. And
I don't know that that's true.
Well, I think. But anyway, that's. I think the committee should really just embrace that project as a permanent activity. And the other thing is, now we have the garage down, and that is a very awkward property, and I wonder if the lot can be redesignated in some way because there's the part of it that's on the other side of Archer's, and that, I mean, if it could be separated, maybe that would be more marketable. And I know that I was shot down for this idea a long time ago, but I still believe that a really good idea for this town is to have another gas station. And I know that there are strict laws about encasing the tanks and stuff like that, but it can be done. And there is so much more traffic through this town now. I mean, we practically need traffic lights at the crossroads. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's like 4 more miles over to Wawa, and there's nothing over in the Millstone direction. There's tons of traffic.
We just got a quote from the county. I asked for how much it would be to do a traffic study, because the last one was done in 14, mm-hmm. and 5 years is a long time. So I asked, the other day, Anna sent me the quote from the state, which mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think maybe $1,500?
$1,300 to $1,500,
which I thought was worth it.
I think so, because with the tremendous increase in traffic, I mean, when my husband was growing up here, there were a half dozen places to buy gas between here and Hightstown. Mm-hmm. There was this one at Ely's Corner. There was one at Agris. There was one,
and the one and at Izzy's. And
yes.
And,
yeah. There. So how can it be that there isn't a market for it? And maybe a single businessman can't do it, and maybe it couldn't be a garage. But I mean, maybe it can be marketed to, you know, Wawa and Quick Check or whatever. You know, I just think the community development has to really look into promoting business in this town, especially given all these financial crises and the school.
Well, that's
situation.
Why I wanted this. I wanted the traffic study so that we can tell
a
prospective
absolutely.
Business person, this is how many cars come through town every
great.
Day,
where
every
is
week.
Your business district, though?
Well, it's the deli and gas station.
So that's it.
And the
post
office.
Well, the deli.
It's going to be hard to get a low-margin business here.
Yeah.
The factory.
That's the problem. The deli is a problem because the goods are perishable, and so you have shrink. And unless you move volume, it's a tough business to run. If you don't have volume,
however,
gas business is the same. You know, my uncle used to own a BP station.
But we have lots of people coming through now.
But not as many. But the problem is, if you notice nowadays, the gas business has changed. See, those people, the guys who are selling the gas, they only make like 3 cents a gallon on every gas gallon of gas sold.
Well, it would probably
so
have to.
Everyone
be
builds it with you make your money on the store,
right.
Which means you need like at least 100,000 cars going in front of your place every day.
There's 4,000 cars back and forth here every day.
What's that?
4,000 cars.
That's not enough
back and forth
for a gas station.
And
you should look at high margin businesses. Yeah. Like the liquor store is a high margin business. You could the liquor store can survive essentially anywhere because the margin is so big and the goods aren't perishable. You're getting a food place down here is going to be extremely difficult with the amount of any kind of food that's perishable.
Well, if the food place is connected with a place that has a liquor license.
Well, there are
you know,
there are people in town who want to open the deli and they are willing to buy the liquor license.
Right. Right. But so I'm
a
just
service
I'm
business
just saying
it's a high margin business.
I'm just saying
Well, I don't want you to think we haven't been working on it.
No, I know, I'm saying the committee can meet. I mean,
who is that committee, by the way?
It's
me, Mike, and Joe.
Steve.
I'm Joe.
Oh,
Lou.
So that's something to start.
Right.
Thinking.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you've done all this stuff, but it should be
for months.
More than just you. It should be
I know.
It's just the point I'm making.
Yeah.
And apparently, I've talked
to talked
to
people who try to open business too, right?
They're very much so, and
they're willing.
Greg told me he has every right to leave it empty.
Pay the taxes and
prepare. You know, that it's a long term negotiation thing. Yeah. His sense of being part of a community has to be developed. He has no sense of belonging.
In the beginning, I think he did, and now he cut it off. But I think
I don't know.
We
I
might
don't know
be able to get a committee meeting with them again. We did
I
that.
Think you have to look at. You're gonna. I mean, getting some developing that kind of stuff involves looking at your zoning ordinances, what's allowed there, what's not allowed there. Your code is very old. Maybe there's things you know that you would allow there now that you wouldn't have allowed there 40 years ago.
Well, yeah,
you
part
know?
Of the lease, part
like
of the deed over there.
I mean,
you
know, dispensaries are coming up.
Oh,
you have tattoo parlors. You know, things that typically used to be vices that were banned from towns are now allowed. I mean, you're gonna need a personal service business. Anything that's like an inventory business or a margin business on like moving goods is gonna be really, really tough there because people are gonna have a hard time moving volume.
What's that?
We know all that.
No, but I'm saying that in terms of committee activity, those are the focus.
Well, no, right now it's not even officially for sale, so we can't do anything yet. I have
No, but it can be
We have. Well, you haven't been to some meetings, but we have.
No,
it's been brought up.
The Hilltop Pool owners voted. At a
yes. No, we know that. We're aware of that. In fact, I talked about that at reorg,
yes.
At the reorganization meeting. That property will be coming up for sale.
Oh, it's just not for sale yet.
No, it's not officially for sale yet, but it will be coming up. And then some of that land is wetlands, can't be developed, but some of it obviously can. So there's 5 acres there. We're really on top of all this. It might not seem like it, but we are. All right, anyone else for public comment? All right, we close public comment at 8:13.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
To do it next time.
Too late.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a motion and a second already.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
We're
adjourned.
Out. Just keep it.